Jesse and worship team. Well, Merry Christmas. So glad that you took time out of your schedules and your traditions to join us here this morning. We, even though I am a pastor, I also have Christmas morning traditions. A little hot now. All right. You got turned down a little? All right. Not sure why that fed back. Nothing new up here that I know. One of the things that Jenny and I love about the holiday time is getting Christmas cards, because you get to see changes in people that you haven't seen for, sometimes you don't see these people except through their Christmas cards, and it's always interesting to see how the kids are growing or just some changes in their life. But there are some Christmas cards that went out this last year that are, I guess the best word to put it is awkward, okay? So I came across a couple of these. This one comes from Jorge Santini, the mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico. I want you to know this. The cards I am showing you are bona fide, real Christmas cards, okay? They were trying to promote something about their local zoo or something, and I don't know. I just think it missed the mark. I sure hope this is just photoshopped in, if you know what I mean. That's a pretty wild scene. The girl seems a little calm otherwise. How about this one? Two things. There is a time when a man should no longer wear feety pajamas. Okay? I don't know when you hit that time, but there is a time. Secondly, men, have you ever noticed when you go to the photographer and they say, lean into your wife, and it feels awkward? It is awkward. Okay? My goodness. This one I really like, because I kind of wonder who's on the naughty and nice list in this picture. They must have gone to the mall with their grandma, and she must have promised them, like, big gifts or something to take their picture with Santa. Oh, wow. Good one. They actually sent that out as their Christmas card. How about this one? I have no idea what this card is trying to say. I just know that she has a whole different idea of Merry Christmas than he does. It's just awkward, is the best way to put that. How about this one? This is the case of a man never being able to say no to his wife. This is what it eventually turns into, okay? World's best dad. Give me a break. She is a cloud nine. I've got this guy right here all the time. Look what I made him do, and we sent it to our friends, and he's happy about it. Well, one of the cards that I hope you enjoyed this year is this one. Each person on the card, of course, had a reason for being that person. I don't know who your favorite was. My personal favorite. Yeah, the staff didn't know ahead of time what character they would be until they were actually printed and showed up here. So there was no way to change it. So, Merry Christmas anyways. We do want to thank you for taking time out of your traditions and your schedules to spend time with us. Today we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. And at Christmas time, that is the focus, and of course that's the reason for the holiday. I am perplexed sometimes when I hear all the dissertations about what this Christmas holiday is about, and can you this and can you that. I just heard, the House of Representatives, they can't send out Christmas cards to their people that say Merry Christmas on it, because that's using taxpayer money to say Christmas. The last I looked, the national holiday is Christmas. I just don't understand some of the stuff that goes on in our world. And I know everybody kind of gets off track when it comes to this because it is about the birth of Jesus. And there are so many people that now try to say, well, Christmas is really so much more secular now than it was, and it means something so much different for other people. For me, it is about the birth of Jesus, and that is what we celebrate. And I think sometimes some of the things that we do can get us off track from that. And that's why I think it is wonderful that we come together on Christmas Day when we already have the normal traditions we do. And I know some of you probably opened your gifts on Christmas Eve. I don't know how you ever got your parents to originally agree with that, but that's a good deal. It never worked for me. Some of you might have already opened them up this morning before you came. Our kids didn't get that opportunity. They're opening them after lunch today, so they are suffering, so feel so bad for them. You know, feel so very bad for them. I think no matter what we add into our morning today, the gift somehow will figure out how to get opened along the way. But today is Christmas, and Jesus was born. And the day that he was born, we recognize, and we come together, and we pause for just a moment of all the activity that's going around to remember the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This kind of completes our series for this month of the gifts that we give. And we've talked about the gift of love and the gift of time and the gift of forgiveness. And today is the gift of Jesus. And it's a gift in some ways we can give to one another, but the way we need to look at it today is a gift that's been given to us. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. It's about a celebration of the birth of this baby, but not just the celebration of the baby, but more the person of Jesus. One thing I find interesting is when we look at Christmas, some people get really confused on the birth of this baby versus the man, Jesus. We've got a video that kind of illustrates this a little bit.
Man, I wonder what it was like to really be born in a manger.
I know, right? I wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
Wait, you're telling me that the baby Jesus from the Christmas story is the same baby Jesus as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I never really put those two concepts together. Wow. Well, I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
Baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, he grew up. I mean, there's some time in there, you know. He grew up. He taught people. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He came back to life, you know. And now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts.
Yeah.
This is really... Okay. I guess I just didn't put two and two together. This is... Whew. Wow. Merry Christmas, Denver. I guess we should just try to view Christmas instead of one isolated event and more of an ongoing story about our salvation.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Great idea.
Well, yeah, it's the same guy. And I think even purposefully, even this morning, you know, as we come together on Christmas, we always sing, you know, our Christmas carols. And they're great, and they're part of our tradition. But even in our worship set today, we added a few songs that weren't your traditional Christmas carols because we want to remember that the birth of Jesus isn't just about a baby being born in a manger, but about God, the creator of the universe, who came into this world as God Emmanuel with us. And he loves us. And he is so much bigger and so much greater than what this just sometimes Christmas idea of just a baby in a manger is. Today we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But it's not the birth of Jesus, as you are aware. But it is just the day that he chose to come in the form of man to live amongst us. I want to walk through a couple of passages here quickly. The first one in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says this. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, and he wrote them to communicate, I think, a little bit about what this Christmas idea was. It wasn't just so that Jesus could be born, but it's so that God could be with us. You know, he says here, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He had a purpose for being born here. And Paul, of course, says that he is the chief sinner of all, that he's the worst. Now, you might argue that because, you know, you may have grown up with a brother or sister. You might want to put it in that category. You may know certain people that make their way, at least you believe, on the naughty list every year. But Paul was identifying that he had done some pretty rotten things in his life. I mean, prior to Paul coming to faith in Jesus, he was a persecutor of Christians. His job was to go and to round them up. They would get tossed into jail or even murdered. He'd be a part of the killing of Christians. In fact, there's a story in the scriptures about a man named Stephen who ended up getting stoned because of his proclaiming of who Jesus was. And Paul was right there in the midst of that group. I mean, Paul identified that he had done some pretty terrible things. Terrible things to the followers of Jesus, and in doing them to the followers of Jesus, in his mind, even doing them to Christ himself. He identified that he had a long way to go. And I don't know what your life has been like. I don't know all the choices you've made, but I think we can all agree that we've all fallen short. Sometimes we've fallen short pretty big. There are things maybe even today you still haven't forgiven yourself for, or haven't forgiven others for the things that they have done. But there's not a one of us, as Scripture say, that can claim that we have lived perfectly. Each one of us falls short. Each one of us are in need of this Jesus who was born for the sinners in this world. None of us can say we're not that person or we're not that sinner. Every one of us falls into that category. Paul was right. He is a sinner. And he was unworthy of God's love and forgiveness. All of us sin. And in that, there seems to be no hope for us. But then came Christmas. Before then, I think the idea of how is there hope in the midst of our falling short of God's glorious standard. There were a lot of ideas. There was a sacrificial system. And boy, if you couldn't partake in that or you couldn't do that with the way that you needed to, it wasn't seem like there was a lot of hope for you. But when Christmas came, that all changed. God came in the world to save sinners. What we're told to believe is to believe that God loves us. We're to believe that God loves us so much that he came to die in a human death. And that through that death, we are offered forgiveness. He secures our pardon. So how does this event happen, this Christmas event, how does this work of Jesus save us? I encourage you to turn to Ephesians. Other way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says it about as clear as you can. Paul says these words again. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation comes to you and to me through God's grace and God's grace alone. And if you want to know what God's grace is the kindness that God gives to those who do not deserve that kindness. That's why Paul said you can't take credit for it. You can't boast about it. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to get it. It is a gift from God, which is why today the idea is that the gift is Jesus. The baby born in a manger isn't just a baby laying in a manger. It's a gift that God gives us. Because as he would grow, as he would live, he would teach us how to live a life that was honoring to God. And he would lay his life down as a sacrifice for us so that our sins could be forgiven. And it's a gift that's available not only then when he lived, but a gift for all time and for all people. Salvation is offered to you only because God loves you and wants you to be saved. It's a choice that you make. It's a choice that I have to make. You can choose to live by the world's ways, which is selfishly, we see plenty of that, seeking respect from others, obtaining some kind of material wealth, power, control, or what we might just call the American dream. Or you can choose to accept the gift that God has for you. Once you open this gift and believe in your heart that Jesus is God, the scriptures tell you you will be saved. And it's at that moment you start to see the world around you differently. You start to see things like God sees them. Your heart starts to beat for the things that God's heart beats for. Your life begins to change, not all at once, but it starts a transformation. And it's not because you're trying to earn your salvation. It's just a transformation that happens because of your choice to believe in Christ. You begin to act like Him as you interact with the world around you. Christmas is a gift for you and for me. The scriptures tell us that God loved us so much that He wanted to come and be with us. He wanted to show us the depth of His love. He wanted you to know that God loved you so much that He was willing to suffer and die human death. He wanted to be Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. And it all started on that Christmas day over 2,000 years ago when a baby was born in a manger. The gift today is your gift. Christmas is not just about the baby in a manger. It is about Emmanuel, God with us. Take a look at this short video. God showed up. That's what Christmas is about. It's what we celebrate. It's why we're here. All the presents, the fanfare, all the other stuff that we do is there because God showed up. Now, sometimes that other stuff can crowd that out. But you took enough time and interest in your traditions to show up here today because I believe you too understand that God showed up. Every single one of us need it. We need God's love. We need His forgiveness. We need His compassion. But not only that, the world needs it. And God gave us a responsibility as His followers to go into all the world and to share this same love. We are to be his hands and his feet. As you go into the world, your heart needs to beat like God's heart beats. Your eyes need to see what God sees. And through that, we become like God to the world. Christ is within us. We become like Christ to the world. And as we love people with God's kind of love, and they see that and they start to understand that, we point them to the one who gave it to us. And it is in that hope that Christmas lives on in you. And so today we have a birthday cake. And this is a pretty old German tradition. Each aspect of the cake symbolizes something about the person of Christ and the story of redemption, what Christmas really is. The cake on the inside is chocolate cake, all right? Not just because chocolate cake is amazing, but because it represents the darkness of us, our sin, the darkness inside of us. The white icing on the top represents Jesus' purity that covers us. The red candles represent his blood that was shed, the sacrifice that he made for us. There's 12 candles on the cake, not because Jesus is 12, but because it represents each month of the year. In other words, his sacrifice covers us our entire lives. And then the green that goes around, I know the color of this plant anyways. The evergreen that goes around it is a symbol of everlasting life. And sometimes, like what we have here, it's painted on, it's edible evergreen. Sometimes there would be sprigs of it that would be put on top of it. And so this cake represents what Christmas is all about. And I can't think a better thing to do on Christmas than to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Now remember, as we sing this, it is not about, this is not the day he was born, because Jesus existed how long before his birth here on earth? Yeah, eternally. And when he died here and rose again, he continues to live eternally. He just took a brief period of time to show up here. God showed up. And it's because of that we have hope. It's because of that we have forgiveness. It's because of that we have something to celebrate today. So this Christmas, one of our traditions here at Hillcrest is to also have this. Do you have other people that are joining you? Come on, folks. I could feel Jesse getting really nervous behind me. There's a lot of wax on these wicks. You know, whenever we do weddings, I always tell people, you need to light your candles ahead of time so you don't take forever. Have you ever noticed that after you hold a lighter on for a while, the flame goes away forever? Plenty of fuel in it, stops working. Right. Well, Jesus may not be with you all 12 months of this year. Talk amongst yourselves. Anybody get anything really good for Christmas? A lighter? Did you bring it with? Come on. Just... Oh, yeah. Terry Gillespie right there. She is... thanks for standing. Please stand, Terry. Terry made the cake for us. I don't need your help, Terry. I got this. Okay. No problem. And if you ever need a cake for any festive occasion, please talk to Terry. She'll set you up. But we want to sing Happy Birthday. I'm not going to lead it. But I will sing it. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Well, what we're going to do is, as I pray to close the service, we invite all of you to come get a piece of this birthday cake and enjoy it. Kids, feel free to come up. If mom and dad tell you that you can only have a half piece, that's not true. You can have a whole one, okay? Pastor Doug said so, all right? If mom says, no, it's going to spoil your appetite, no, it won't. Pastor Doug says, come get some cake. So if you'll form maybe a line down on this aisle over here, and then we'll get set up once I pray. Happy birthday. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Yes, it is. Very true, very true. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that we remember that you showed up, that you came into this world because of your great love for us. May we receive that love and receive this gift of salvation. May we take it into our world and share it with others who need that same message of hope. It is on this day that in the midst of all of our activities and traditions and festivities, we pause for a moment to thank you, to say happy birthday as we remember the day that you came to be with us. And we love you. And all God's people said, amen. There is a small piece in the very center that is for Ruth Fuchs because it's her birthday today. So she shares it with Jesus every year, and she says, I'd rather Jesus have all the glory, but, you know, we got to give Ruth a little props, right? So, all right. All right, let's cut it. I've got some helpers that are going to come up. You guys can just be in line over there somewhere. Apparently, Isaiah and Ryan will be the front of the line, so...